Here we go. Welcome to the 12 Man Podcast, live, uninterrupted, on the Red, on Facebook, on everywhere else you can hear us. Obviously not live on Spotify and stuff. I'm not in your ears at 4 in the morning, so don't even try. Yeah, we're back in the studio, nice and comfy. I've got Mr. John Cutler with me. Evening, Cut.
Evening.
For people watching on Facebook, I'm so sorry, there is no coat. There's no velvet overlay, so I apologise for that. You alright?
Don't want to spoil them.
It will be in the shops very soon. You alright?
All good, yeah.
Good. Another rare appearance, Mr. Jamie Algarner's with us. Evening, Dally.
How are you doing, boys? Alright?
Yeah, we're good. Sound. And live through the screen, Mr. John Donovan's with us. Evening, John Don.
Now then, are you alright?
Yeah, we're doing good. And live from the northern part of the river, Mr. Steve Dixon's with us. Evening, Dicko.
Evening, everybody. Okay?
Yeah, we're doing good.
Good. Great.
Good. So, we're going to talk about Swansea. Another cracking win. Unfortunately, things didn't go our way that we wanted, but hey-ho. Got two big games. Big games this week. Big. Can't say big enough. we'll preview them too. And any other business that we want to chuck in there as well. But I usually start going to JD, so I apologise, I'm not going to. I'm going to come to Dicko first. Because before the game Saturday, we went and visited the food bank that was behind the north stand at the riverside. I'll come to John Don in a bit and find out how they got on. But we had our little moment in the sun, didn't we? You know, we got to meet the people that got behind everything, and then... They were very thankful for the work that you put in more than all of us.
Yeah, it was great to see some of the people who work for the food bank, Tracy, who I dealt with, obviously passing over the funds too. They put in a lot of hard work throughout the year, and they were tremendously grateful for obviously the donation that we give, and it was nice to get a photograph with everybody. And we made the Evening Gazette tonight, apparently. So a little bit of publicity for the food bank. And yeah, it was a great day. I had a super day on Saturday. I was lucky enough to get into the Style Lounge at the Riverside for the first time ever. And it was a great experience for me to be seeing how the other half live, shall we say.
Did you say Style Lounge?
The Style Lounge, yeah. You'd have looked great in that Johnny House coat there.
I'll tell you what, talking about quotes, that's the one you went on Saturday, mate.
Yeah, so I had a brilliant day, as I say. I was treated like royalty all day. The Borough won, and we ended up getting ugly mugs in the Evening Gazette. So, yeah, brilliant weekend had by all.
It was fantastic to meet the lovely people behind the collection on Saturday, obviously. The main man was there, Mr. John Donovan was there as well. How did they get? I know you weren't there for the whole duration, but you were there when I walked past as I was going back into the Riverside for the game. How did the ladies and gentlemen get on? They say it looked a good turnout, it looked a good collection when I went past.
Yeah, I was with you at the start, and then I came back later on in between. I met up with some friends of mine who come down from Swansea, so I had to show them the delights of Middlesbrough Town Centre, the pubs especially. They're doing well. I got sent some figures from the day, and there was a total of 271.5 kilograms of food donated, and £707.39, which is a great sum. It'll help massively with the food bank, so that they can stock up on the items that they know that they're short of and that people do require. So everything that the Borough fans and any away fan gives whenever we do these collections is greatly accepted. So thank you, everybody. And it was a good afternoon for them.
Yeah, definitely. It looked a really good collection. I mean, about 271 kilos. I think 270 of them came out of your car when you turned up. The amount of food you were piling out the back of your car when you turned up.
Well, that's from the the Volunteers Cafe at James Cook. Oh, they wow. They always donate some food for the food bank because they have an eco shop. So they give some, very kindly give it to the food bank. So I'd like to thank them. Georgina, who runs that, is lovely lady, and she always helps us out.
I was going to say, give them a big, massive shout out. Whereabouts is this Eco Cafe in the hospital?
It's close to the main restaurant, which is like Circo Run, the main staff restaurant. Just as you walk down to there, on your left hand side, there's the voluntary cafe. It's a marvellous place. It just offers something different to what the restaurant in the hotel offers, in the hospital offers.
Hotel.
he went full on tour.
Yeah.
Hotel. Yeah. But no, well done to everyone involved, everyone that collected, everyone who donated. Yeah, fantastic. So, I still say we shouldn't be doing this sort of thing. We really shouldn't, but that's for another debate. That's for another podcast. Can't get into that on this one. So we'll move on. Right, game Saturday. I'll stay with you, John Don, because I usually stay with you for this type of thing. Team came out 2:00, unchanged. But that wasn't the big highlight and headline of what we saw. It was the three lads that got back on the bench because we are starting to slowly towards the end of the season where things might get a little bit interesting for us. We're getting players back in crucial positions as well.
Yeah. I mean, I was quite pleased to see their inclusion named as substitutes. But as for the starting 11, fine. Yeah, I was happy with that. I thought it was a strong enough team to get the result on the day against an out of form Swansea team, and it proved to be, you know. So yeah, I was quite pleased with the lineup.
Yeah, exactly. It was a cracking little surprise when we saw the three that came back on the bench. I mean, me and you were in the fan zone, weren't we, when it came out? We were quite happy unchanged with them three back on the bench. It looked pretty solid for what we had to deal with in front of us, really.
Yeah, like. You know, I'm a big advocate. If you're doing well in the shirt, you keep the shirt. So I was fairly happy. But the strength on the bench is starting to get there now, and we've got a couple of big games coming up this week that we'll preview later, and it can only help us.
Exactly. By the way, if you like his slogan, we will put it on a house coat if you want to buy one. We'll get that sorted out for you. But but yeah, Dally, it was a pretty solid team. I couldn't really make many complaints about that team. I thought, you know, they've done well enough last week. We did well on Monday. Get back in,
yeah, absolutely. You know, McClack at the back, you know, they've done well the last few weeks. You know, when we've been down to the bare bones, and you know, maybe it might have been good to have, you know, Hackney and Vandenberg etc. on the bench, but you look at the two games coming up this week, they're going to be needed in those games. You'd think so, where we can change it up a little bit, which. Or freshen the team up, but yeah, happy enough with it.
Yeah, and Dicko, what did the prawn sandwich brigade think of the unchanged team?
Well, I was sitting next to a Manchester City fan, so not a great deal, to be honest. But and a Liverpool fan on one side, Man City on the other, so not a great deal. But I was fairly happy with it, and I agree with what Dally's just said there. I think it was picked with an eye on Wednesday night at Hull, and then moving on to Ipswich. I think there was a little bit of that in it. But also I was fairly happy with the side. It's been doing well. It's been, you know, keeping clean sheets. So I had no complaints with the starting lineup. Just you mentioned Matt Clark there, and he's been doing particularly well lately.
Oh yeah.
I bet there's not one Middlesbrough fan who was in the stadium on Saturday would have thought, come this time in the season, Matt Clark could possibly be going for player of the year. Because I think he's been that good over the course of the season. He could end up going and winning Middlesbrough's Player of the Year. That's how good he's been.
That's very true. I've
seen somewhere today, hasn't he been nominated for Championship Player of the Month or something like that? Or is that just a Middlesbrough Player of the Month or something? I've seen it somewhere, but he has been outstanding, to be fair. We've mentioned him plenty of times on the podcast in the last couple of weeks, and He's certainly proven why we brought him in.
He's got a habit of this, hasn't he? Because when we signed him, he'd won Player of the Year at his previous clubs like 3 years in a row, hasn't he? West Brom.
Yeah, yeah.
He tends to once he gets playing regularly, he tends to be really consistent.
You can picture it now, can't you? Start of June, out in Germany, starting alongside John Stones. Up the clock.
did you see that moment in the first half when the ball went over his head? He's just randomly running back.
It just
hit him on the head randomly and just went straight back to Dieng as if he had meant it. And he had no clue about it whatsoever. And I just thought, when things are going for you, things are going for you, Matt Clark. And he was like prime Bobby Moore for a second.
Well, Sharon's messaged in. She said, Housen will get player of the year. And I know we'll talk about this in a few weeks to come, but he's got to be up there for me as well.
Yeah, of course. It's just to miss a message there from Stuart Gawley. John's got his high chair back out. So you're not quite laid back, but
I'm sorry to disappoint you, mate.
It'll come out again towards the end of the season, don't worry, we'll buy him a big high chair. Colin Fry messaging as well, saying what's our thoughts on Matt Clark, but he's pretty much summed that up, hasn't he?
I think he's different to our other centre halves. Mm. He's like an old fashioned centre half.
He'll put
his body on the line.
Yeah.
Reminds me a little bit like Tony Mowbray. Mowbray played against Pallister. Everyone thought Pallister was great on the ball, could bring it out, look classy. But for me, you need someone like Mowbray, someone like Clark, who, how many times have we said on this pod this season, players turning their backs on a ball? He's never going to do that. He'll take a ball right in the face if it means he'll stop a goal, and I'll take that all day long from my defenders.
Looks like he's done it a few times as well. I mean, he's 27 going on 57, isn't he? He looks ancient, but he's only 27 years old. So we've got some good years left in him.
If you're listening, Mr. Clark, I've got JD's address, so you can go around and see him.
We don't promote violence, but I will if I get a front row seat. No, you're absolutely right. You wouldn't think he's 27. He's been in the game for a while, hasn't he? When you look through his career, he's actually been around for quite a while.
Let's not forget he's come back from you've got to say it was a serious injury, although it was a back issue.
Long term.
He was out for a long time. He's come back, and it's took him a few games to get into his groove, but is he our number? Well, with Van den Berg, are they our top two centre halves at the moment? I would say yes.
I'm glad you rephrased that question. I thought you were just going to come out and say, is he our number one centre half? And they just went, well, no, don't be silly. But no, you're absolutely right. I'm not going to say he was brilliant on Saturday simply because I didn't think Swansea were brilliant Saturday. I thought they were bang. I'll come back to Swansea in a little bit because something their manager said on Saturday after the game was a bit weird. But I'll mention that a little bit. But first goal, obviously, we were dying for that first goal, weren't we, Dally? We were dying for it going, and literally, last year, laugh. Yes, he creeped in bottom corner, but it was a little bit of magic, wasn't it? He made himself a little bit of space, and then the best scuff I've ever seen in my life went through four players and through the keeper.
Yeah, I think I was halfway through telling someone that if I was him, I'd have threw my arms in the air and absolutely swan-dived as he was running past a couple of Swansea players. And then he sneaks the ball into the bottom corner. It was a really, really clever finish. It took all of their players and their goalkeeper by surprise, as well as everyone else in the stadium. So, real clever finish.
Yeah, I mean, I was sat talking to Josh. He was still kicking off about his green bins and the green bin wall that's going around Middlesbrough now. But all of a sudden, I looked up and there's Latte Laff popping in bottom corner. And JD, it was a tight little finish. I'm not saying he 100% meant it to go where it did, but for me, that was a striker's goal. He did what he needed to do.
But there was absolutely nothing on the keeper spilled it in any sort of pounced on the loose ball, but he had to go sort of like virtually full circle. So that he could get back facing the goal. And then he squeezed the shot in and it came off the post and, you know, it was already over the line by the time the keeper touched it with his hand. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know how the game would have went if we hadn't got that goal just right on half time, but it was a spark we needed.
I think you could say, sorry, John, I think you could say, I don't know how that game would have gone if it wasn't for Latte Laff. I think they could still be playing now, both teams.
Oh, gotcha. It'd still be nil-nil, yeah.
Tell you what, you're talking about Josh's Josh's green bins. I think Latialafa has been marked by 7 of them during that goal. Because if that was the other way around, you would have been going crackers if Middlesbrough had conceded a goal like that. What were the defenders doing? It was horrific defending. It was like slow motion at the game. And when it went in, I was like, has that counted? Because it just seemed so like, I was waiting for a flag to go up or the referee to blow his whistle. I couldn't believe it was a goal. It was just like slow motion. It was like some of you see in kids' football, just a player running around in the box doing little circles.
Yeah,
it was just it was shocking defending.
If it was,
but, there was no pace on it, but it just it was right in the corner and it just clipped the post as it went in. So took the keeper who was in the centre of the goal, stood in his line. He just took him by surprise and he couldn't get to it. He couldn't prevent it because it was already over the line by the time he got a hand to it. But, yeah, we'll take it though, won't we? You know, you'll take anything. It wasn't a great first half, but we went in 1-0 up.
Exactly.
Happy.
Exactly. Very happy. And I'll tell you, one person would have been happy if it was Borough that had been the other way around. I'd say Josh would have been happy. There'd been £40 a bin. All 7 of them bins. If you don't get in there, that's the extra budget coming in. And that's his season ticket half paid off. Not really. If you have any complaints about that, the Middlesbrough Council website is the place to go. So I'll come to the second half. Second half, it was exactly the same as Monday for me. We were dying for that second goal. The second goal was so crucial because they weren't really threatening. I think there was only one shot that I think Jamal Lowe had beginning of the second half, which Dieng saved so comfortably. And we just looked like we were just waiting for that moment to pounce on them. Then all of a sudden, Finn Azar's got the ball. Latialafa did a little turn, turned, I don't know which defender it was, turned him inside out and knocked him into next week. It was a tidy little finish, wasn't it?
Yeah, was it off Jones's header? Ball forward off Jones's header and then on to Latialafa. I think before that goal, I thought it was kind of like we thought the job was already done and we thought we could... The game, like you say, for me, it was probably one of the worst games I've seen.
Oh, big time.
But, you know, that ball forward, the head-on from Jones, and, you know, what a turn and what a finish by Latialafa.
Proper striker. Again, another one, JD. A proper striker's goal. It was a number 9's goal. He's starting to turn. Was that number 11 for the season, I think? For Latialafa.
12, isn't it? Is it 12 altogether?
12, is it?
But
it's a hell of a finish. It's a hell of a striker's goal. He's starting to turn into the striker we were all looking for.
Yeah. I mean, Daly picked up on it. It stemmed from Jones winning the header against the defender who was marking him, who's probably about 6-7 inches taller. But Jones won the header into midfield. And, Azaz paid it to Lath and he turned the guy, put it in, and that killed the game. I mean, at 1-0, we always say, you know, the game's never dead, but Swansea never looked like scoring, but you just don't know. It was a very poor Swansea team. Barron, Nathan Wood and Jamal Lowe. I didn't know any of their players. None of them, Son, none of them stood out. It was a really poor display from Swansea.
Yeah, I expected more from Swansea. Usually when you play Swansea, it's a team that likes to pass the ball with a bit of purpose. I know they kept the ball a little bit, but it wasn't great, was it? When you watched them, there was no purpose. You could see that was a team that was 15th, 16th from the table. Couldn't go down, couldn't go up. They were just counting down the moments where they could jump on that plane to Ibiza.
To be honest, I know we're talking about Swansea. I couldn't give a monkey's about Swansea, to be honest with you.
No.
I don't care if they were good or rubbish or what. All that matters to me is 3 points, keep our run going and getting where we are or where we're going to finish up. You know, we're still in with a slight chance. I know it's slim, but we've just got to keep doing what we're doing. And I think certain games you play a little bit within yourself because you know the opposition, etc. I think... We could have went up a couple of gears on Saturday, and I think sometimes when the opposition plays better, it makes you play better. I just think it was one of them games.
Yeah, absolutely.
I hope you're right, John, because it had the feel of one of those two teams that know the season's over on the beach, like almost like a pre-season friendly feel. It was it was lackluster at best, and it was, you know, Lattie Alat that won the game forward with, you know, two bits of quality. Because other than that, there was nothing in the game, both sides. I thought the Swansea right back, funny enough, was their best player. He got up and down the right hand side really well for them. But I was, Swansea on the day were abysmal. And Middlesbrough, in large parts, just seemed to be going through the motions as well, just keeping the ball sideways, backwards passing, even though we were the better side. And I say it was just a little bit of quality by Lattie Alat that's won with the game. Great goal, great finish. I love it when Lath's facing his defender, because you know they know he's got the pace to go either side. And he was clever on Saturday, because he went to run the defender down the left channel, and he thought he was going to go past him by pace and shoot across the keeper. Mm-hmm. He went to go down the left, then checked back onto his right. The defender was dead. He had created the space, then bent it around the goalkeeper. Lovely. So it was a quality finish, that. So, but if we're going to do anything this season in terms of putting a little bit of pressure on sixth and seventh position, going into these games we've got coming up, which we'll talk about, in Hull and Ipswich, and then on to Leeds, dare I say, we're going to have to play a hell of a lot better than we did on Saturday.
I thought at times, though, Swansea did a job in a way. They dragged us down to their level. Like, they stuck in that beginning part, and it was like they just dragged us down to where, you know, this is our level now, that you're going to play as our level. And we just struggled to get above it. Well, let's hope
so. There is that in games, you're right, and that does happen in games. And let's hope that was the case, because if you were a neutral watching on Saturday, you would have just went, these are two sides that have got nothing to play for. That's the way it felt, but
I think that
we've got the job done.
The Norwich game before, I think that killed it as well. I think if Norwich hadn't got the result, then you're looking and you're thinking, yeah, I think the atmosphere is completely different. I think the tempo of the game's completely different. I think there's still a long way to go in the season. Championship's crazy. And while there's still that glimmer of hope, you've still got that, you know, you still got that, you know, you're checking the league after games, and you want to know what all the scores are. But I think that had a big impact as well.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned there, Dick Gold, that, you know, neutrals, as I said, you know, two teams waiting for the sunny shores of wherever they're going in the summer. It wasn't just the neutrals. Their manager said it. Their manager had a right little pop in the press. He very critical of us, our fans, the actual game itself. And I don't know if he was just trying to take it away from how badly they played to put it on somewhere else, but if he's going to be doing that, he's got to look closer to home, hasn't he? Because, I mean, yeah, the atmosphere, I mean, like Dally said there, it could have been a lot better. Obviously, the Norwich game didn't help, but there was still bits of noise about the stadium. You know, it didn't help that they only brought a minibus full. I thought, you could tell by their fans that, you know, their new season was up. But I didn't think the atmosphere was the worst I've ever seen.
What's his name?
Is it Luke Williams?
Luke Williams.
Yeah.
How'd you enjoy those apples, Luke? Enjoy your trip home, son.
He'll send
I don't know about apples. It was sour grapes.
Yeah, it really was.
That's right, yeah. Swansea could only dream of getting 25,000. So it's, you know, they brought up a minibus full of fans. So he needs to look closer to home, to his own support, rather than having to go to the Middlesbrough support.
It was
a bizarre thing for a manager to say. Look, let's be honest, the atmosphere wasn't great on Saturday. It was quite subdued. It was like a friendly game. It wasn't brilliant. But that's not the reason Swansea got beat. That's how they got beat, because Swansea were absolutely rank poor on the day, both in terms of the manager and the players on the pitch. So that's got nothing to do with the Middlesbrough support. If anything, you'd think the quiet stadium would help the way a team grow into the game. I mean you could see the difference just within the 2 weeks. We played Sheffield Wednesday the week before. 2,500 Sheffield Wednesday fans came up. Brilliant support by them. Had an impact on the game. And the atmosphere was obviously better in the Sheffield Wednesday game. Swansea, what did Swansea bring, 150 up, something like that? I know it's a long way, and the Swansea fans that travelled, I doth my cap to each and every one of them, superb for coming up. But let's be honest, for a city like Swansea, in a club the size of Swansea on a Saturday for 3 o'clock to take 150 up anyways is pretty poor in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just reading what he said. I mean, there was nothing right about that. It was like a charity game in the summer. No atmosphere, a bit of talking in the crowd. The first goal was a comedy. The second goal isn't loads better. It's hard to find anything good about today, especially when you don't get any points. You need to look at somewhere
else. Well,
it might
be a comedy from, might be a comedy from his point of view, but like Dicko said, you know, Latialath, he worked for that first goal. He put it in the right spot. And the second goal was a good finish. So if he thinks that's comedy, then okay, that's his take. Like I said, I just think it's a bit of deflection and a bit of sour grapes.
Yeah,
100%.
I wouldn't like to go to the comedy club he goes to on a night. I'll be sat there a bit bored, to be quite honest. But, I think the best thing about the second goal as well is the timing of this, because it made us then look at subs. We could bring players on that needed a bit of game time. We could rest the likes of Vandenberg, etc., that needed the rest. Sonny Finch got a run out. Tony Murray just got in touch there and said, nice to see Sonny Finch get a run out on Saturday. Obviously, Alex Gilbert got another run out. It was good to get the squad more minutes and more minutes where they were needed as well. And we could step off the gas a bit and say, right, we're done now.
In talking about the standard and the quality of that second goal on Saturday, the lad at Man United scored one very similar yesterday, and they were absolutely pairing about it. That Mino or whatever his name was,
similar
touch, top corner. It was a great finish. That
soon as he hit that,
no, that was a great finish from Latialath.
Oh yeah,
and we mentioned last week about sometimes he misses the chances when he seems to have a lot of time. That was instinct. That touch, turn, shot.
Yeah. But then you could say, you could turn it as well though. He had a bit of time to think about it because he was making that run, wasn't he? So
that was shot, John, SHOT.
I know. Sorry. You just reminded me of someone from Reeves and Martin years ago. You know this.
Kick head.
Ellie, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about, but. It's kids won't remember all that sort of stuff that are listening to this one.
I know. Sorry.
If you can, just... when you watch it on YouTube later, give it a Google. Give it a Google. It's funny as.
Kick,
but
smoke.
Listen, I'll try and bring the mood back to something of sensibility.
Please do.
But a few questions to the 12th man on X. Danny Beardsmore's comments. This has been quite a debate on X today, actually. And his question ties in with it, and he asks, "What all? Why should we sign Luke Ayling when we already have someone with experience at right back to come back from injury? We should sign someone younger with a real quality to be competing with Tommy Smith. What's your thoughts going into the summer, guys, on Luke Ayling, who's done quite well lately? Should we be signing him? Should we be keeping Tommy Smith and looking for a younger player? What do we think?
I'd keep
him. Is it time to go yet in the season?
No, I think I'd keep him. I think he brings a bit of housery to us. I think he brings...
Big time. We'll meet 50 quid on Saturday. Good lad.
I think he gets it. You know, he's come on loan and he's been... Okay, yeah, he's been caught out a few times. But I think he's got almost assists this season so far.
Yes, yeah.
I think I'd seen that stat the other day. And he's only played half a season.
A quarter was that really?
One thing I don't buy into it. I don't think his legs have gone. He's up and down that flank. He doesn't have to put a shift in.
Oh, he's. Yeah.
Well, it all depends on what's available for me. Can we do better than Luke Ayling? But I certainly wouldn't be averse to signing him as a squad player. I saw earlier on Bandy, good friend of the show, put on that he would sign Ayling because. He's a good character, someone have in the squad.
Yeah.
And I've seen that him and Steve were having a bit of back and forth. We all know Steve's views on Ayling. But for me, I don't think it'll be a bad signing on a free in the summer at all.
I think Dykstale will be gone. I think the writing's on the wall
for
Dykstale. So I think, you know, if Smith comes back, I think Smith and Ayling is healthy competition. Both experience in the changing room, you know, experience of promotions. You know, if you're getting Luke Ayling on a free... I'd rather get him on a free and spend the money elsewhere.
Sharon, we love you, Sharon, we really do, but Sharon's got in touch with, nope, get rid. Sharon, you're a Leeds fan, and Greenwood, no, right, you can't get in touch with this one, this is not on you.
To be fair, over to you, Dick Hall. To be fair, at least we could read that message out.
We could read the last one out. Over to you, Dick Hall, because you've got a completely different angle on this one.
Well, first of all, what I want to say is I've got nothing against Luke Ayling. I think he's come in and done fairly well. He'd done well his first game. He had a shaky start where you're saying his legs haven't gone. But when he was playing against superior quality in a back four, he was getting the legs run off him in behind. It's okay him running into space going forward, but his job's to be first and foremost a defender. And in a four, when he was playing against quality, the ball's in behind. For me, he looked shot against quality. Now, his return to form has come with a change in formation to the five, right? And I think it's helped them massively because you've had the extra defender there. Now, the last couple of games, we've more or less went back to a four with Jones helping out a little bit. But we've been playing against Sheffield Wednesday with the greatest of respect in Swansea. I think we could have probably got away with playing right back against Swansea. I think the jury's still out against Ayling against quality. I'm not averse to signing him, but I don't think we need to sign Ayling and keep Tommy Smith. I think we need to make our minds up that we'll keep one of them for backup and competition and the leadership qualities that they've got. And I'd like to see we bring in another right back that's going to try and propel it to the Premier League, like when we signed Ryan Giles last season. Ryan Giles come up, he's bombing up the left hand side, creating things. I'd like to see Middlesbrough do that next season.
Isn't that what Ayling's doing though? Bombing up the right hand side, creating things.
Yes, in a five, in against inferior quality. But do you think Luke Ayling's going to be bombing forward doing that against Leeds, against Leicester, against Southampton, against Ipswich? I don't think he is. It depends on the opposition, and that's not no slight on Luke Ayling. He's good enough to play Championship football, absolutely. But is he good enough to play Championship football for a side that's going to get to the Premier League week in, week out? Maybe. Is a squad player? Yeah. Do we need Luke Ayling and Tommy Smith? No, not for me. Our model as a football club now is to buy players, to bring players in that would develop and we can possibly sell on for big money. I don't think Luke Ayling suits this football club's model moving forward. And if it's a case of, well, Tommy Smith's injury hasn't went too well, we're going to let Tommy Smith go and we're going to keep Luke Ayling. I've got no problem with that whatsoever. But I don't think this football club will keep both. And if they do, I'd be majorly surprised.
Getting Johnny House in deja vu, are you?
No, I've sticked in my guns with Johnny House and I haven't changed my opinion on him at all. I would keep Johnny House in 100%. He's a fantastic footballer, a great leader, and I hope he's here next season 100%. But I'll stick to my guns. If Middlesbrough are going to target the top two next season, Johnny House and the Luke Aylands, they're not going to get you the promotion. We need quality that's going to be there week in, week out, that's going to play 30, 40 games at the highest level. And that's, look, everybody's got the opinion, that's just mine. I'm not saying I'm right. That's just how I see it. I've got big expectations for my football club next season. I think we've got money to spend on wages and transfer fees. And I think centre midfield and right back, along with a striker, they would be big priorities for me. And I don't think Luke Ayling is the quality we're looking for next season to play week in, week out.
Well, Bandy's come back. He said, sign Ayling at all costs. If we do sign him, Dick O must grow a ponytail.
Bandy just wants a drinking partner in Harrogate. That's what he wants it for.
Hey, I tell you what, I seen an article the other week where he put $5,000 behind the bar. Might be worth signing just for that. He could come in a 12-man bar after the game, can't he, JD?
Bandy drank $2,500 of it. Two right.
as for Luke Ayling, I'm of the opinion that I appreciate the help he's given us, and he's playing particularly well at the moment. But if it was my choice, I'd be looking to I'd be looking to find a permanent signing, a younger signing. And just say to him, thank you very much, and go back to Leeds. Without, you know, I'm not being sort of harsh on that, but I think...
it sounds a bit harsh. Go back to
Leeds.
He's a free agent, isn't he? He's out of contract at the end of the season. He's a free agent.
Oh, right, okay. Well, I agree with Dicko. I mean, Tommy Smith's got the experience, and as long as he comes through his injury and he doesn't have any further setbacks, he could be the experience that we need. And we all know he does a steady job. No better, no worse than Luke Ayling. So he's on our book. So we keep him and we get another right back. Who could maybe challenge Tommy Smith, or maybe he's one for development. I don't know, but for me, I'd say thank you to Luke Ayling and let him find another club.
It's amazing what a year can do in football. Certain people on this podcast were writing Tommy Smith off last year. Now they'd keep him next year. It's amazing.
I thought you were going to say that me and John Donovan would agree. hey,
it depends.
I've got nothing against Tommy Smith.
Depends how he comes
back. Against Tommy Smith.
Sorry, Dick. Yeah. I think it depends how he comes back.
Yeah.
Can he get over the injury?
Yeah. I hope he does.
Exactly, yeah.
I hope he does. I'm a massive fan of Tommy Smith.
Top pro.
I think he's superb. And plus, I've got one of his match-worn shirts at home, and if he goes, I can't get him to sign it. So I want my signature on it before.
He won't be doing much at the moment. I wonder if he's free to come on the pod.
There you go. If anybody's listening at the club, get in touch with Tommy Smith. Send him our way. We'll have a chat with him. But I'm sorry, boys. Are we distracting you from something?
I was going to say, have we got time for another question from the listeners?
Yeah, of course we have. That's absolutely fine. Yeah, go ahead.
There's one from Sean Rye who says, do you think having sold Chuba and Morgan Rogers, what's he saying? We should do all we can to retain our other assets, like Rav Vandenberg, Hayden Hackney. For me, we still have a bit of ground to make up. Selling again would make a difficult season. Mm-hmm. So he's basically saying, you know, rather than we've sold the last couple of years to generate cash, this summer, we're going to make it a bit different, where we're going to try and keep with me and assets and then strengthen on top of that, which I think we're all hoping for, aren't we?
I think it's a strange question to answer that, because would we like to keep Hackney next season? Yes, we probably all would. If we get a ridiculous bid in, would we sell Hackney? We probably all would for the future of the club. Obviously, quality-wise, would love to see him playing for us next season. But say if Chelsea come in and they've seen how stupid they've been with money, with £30-40 million pound for Hackney, this club can't turn that down, and I don't think any of us would.
No. I've just seen a picture there.
No, you're right. I think you're right, John. I think if the financials right for Borough, then no player is guaranteed to be here next year. If a club comes in and the club think that the offer is too good to refuse, then yeah, that player will go. Yeah. I'm hoping that with recent sales, you know, where we've made money on players, that we don't have to sell to balance the books. Only sell if a ridiculous offer comes in.
Absolutely,
I agree with that, 100%.
Yeah, 100%. And I've just seen that Tommy Smith is on another Borough podcast that we all know, so he is available for podcasts.
We're getting Dykstra on.
We'll give it a go. You know, I'm quite happy to have a chat.
I bet you'd make your way down here for that if he was in the studio, wouldn't you?
In his house coat.
His house coat. Right, so should we get through our man of the matches for Swansea?
Be very easy this one, won't it?
Yeah, I'll start because it's nice and easy. Blatty, laugh. Two goals, effortless, proper striker.
Laugh.
Yeah, laugh. Game changer.
I think John's going to sleep.
Blatty, laugh. You know, you can't pick anybody else, really, can you?
No.
I mean, it was his goals that changed the game.
It was.
That's it, basically. There wasn't anybody else as standout as that.
Yeah, that is basically it. You know, nothing more to be said. Before we move on, I'll just say the EFL Team of the Week has just come out in the last hour or so, and we've got two players on it. But you can guess one of them. We've just all named him as man of the match, but you can't guess the other one.
Luke Ayling.
Clark.
No, that's not Matt Clark, no. You said Luke Ayling. Look at the other wing.
Thomas.
Luke Thomas.
Yeah, another player that's had a lot of stick. I think he's been decent last couple of weeks, I do.
Oh, I'm going to straight to Dicko on this one. Go on.
No, we've kept some clean sheets.
I wouldn't have thought he's team of the week material, and I don't think he's done anything of note that's better than what I've seen Lucas Engel could do. So
I've got to admit,
if I was picking my strongest team, I would still have Engel ahead of Thomas.
I've got to admit, when I was watching the game on Saturday, the first half, the most joy they were getting was down their right hand side. They were getting straight round Thomas every time. I don't know why I didn't keep going for it, to be honest. Because
I don't think either of them are particularly good defensively, but I just think Engel gives you more going forward. And for that reason, when we're pushing now at the end of the season trying to get goals, I just think Engel gives you that little bit more quality going forward than what I've seen of Luke Thomas so far.
But Engel's come here, new country,
yeah.
New sort of style of play. The Championship is a tougher division than from where he came. He had a tough start, and especially Sheffield Wednesday when he was tortured by their winger. I think this season will help him tremendously. I don't think Thomas has shown anything in particular that would make me think, yeah, keep him on, sign him on, see if we can get him. He hasn't done a great deal. He's been a team player, man, that's all.
Yeah. He's
Bangura's back in training now as well, so he might sneak back in the team before the end of the season as an option as well.
Exactly. I thought that's why I said straight away none of his will guess who the other one was, and I was quite surprised when I saw Thomas's name pop up there. But you know, that's their choice. You know, I wouldn't put him in myself. I'd have put Matt Clark in. I thought Clark was superb. If last year Laft didn't get the two goals, I'd have put Matt Clark as my man of the match. Maybe. Or Johnny Elson. So I thought Johnny Elson was good again. So, but yeah, there you go. There's Swansea. Right. We've got a very, very, very big week coming now. This time next week, when we all reconvene next week, we will know where we'll be next season, I feel.
Yeah.
I think this is it. If we don't get at least 4 points out of the next two games, you might as well write off this season completely. I know people say we need six, but you can't expect to go to Ipswich and win, let's face it. But why are you pulling that face?
I'm just thinking, you said we'll know next week where we're going to be. Well, if that's two defeats, we'll know. So we'll see in your predictions, won't we?
Yeah, well, we won. They say I've got my predictions locked away in my head. I'll let them out in a little bit. But I'm right though, Anna.
Huge game.
They're both huge games, aren't they?
Massive game. Kieran alluded to it when he was on the pod that Hull have pushed the boat out on certain loan players and players that they're obliged to sign in the summer, as was the case with Giles, he said. So it's an absolutely massive game for them as well. But I think we can go there and get a result. I don't see why not, the way we're playing. Was it 7 unbeaten?
Yeah,
it's a big game.
Five wins, two draws. This isn't it.
It's sold out away end.
Yeah, fantastic. Wednesday night, 9 points off the playoffs when it sold out. That's some following that from this football club. We mention it every week, but well done. Fantastic.
I think it'll have an impact on the night, because I think what we've just been talking about, the atmosphere at the Riverside on Saturday, I think it'll be completely different on Wednesday night. Hull know they need to win. Middlesbrough know they need to win. Sold out the way end under the lights. I think it'll be a pretty decent atmosphere down at Hull. They've got goals in the team with Fabio Cavallio. They've got Ryan Giles back fit. They've got the Turkish lad Tufan up front. They've got lots of goals in the team, and it's going to be a tough game. They've got Jaden Philogen, who's banging the goals and assists left, right, and centre for them. So they've got all the tools in the box to put Middlesbrough to the sword if we're not in our game. But when we played them at the Riverside, we outplayed them for nearly the whole game and ended up chucking it away. And I think it was 2-1 we got beat later on. We should have had them done and dusted. And I'm just going
to... Should have been done by half-time, Dicko.
And their manager, he always talks highly about Middlesbrough and Michael Carrick and the way we play. And he knows we're a threat. And I'm just wondering, can Middlesbrough on Wednesday night turn the tables on them and do what they did to us at the Riverside, where we're going to have to, you know, have the storm that's coming. We might have to defend well, get a little bit of luck. But we've got the players like in Latia Lath at the minute, who's in big, in good form. We've got Isaiah Jones back. We've got Hayden Hackney could possibly come back in the team. Rav Vandenberg could possibly come back in the team. We might just be a bit of a surprise and a banana skin for them on Wednesday night with that big away following. So I think it's a huge game Wednesday night, and it's one that I think Middlesbrough have every chance of winning.
I think even before that game...
They have to win, don't they?
Yeah.
They have to win that game. I mean, we can get away with a draw, I believe, but they have to win.
Yeah.
Look at the fixtures tomorrow night. You know, you've got Coventry playing Southampton, away at Southampton, mm-hmm. and you've got Norwich are away at Sheffield Wednesday. So, you know, if those results... I mean, the results go for us, John. But if the results can go for us... you know, the atmosphere will be electric on even more so on Wednesday, as it'll be a big game because it's two teams thinking that they can sneak in.
We beat them last year. We beat them down there last year as well. Mm. You know, so that'll be fresh in the memory for them.
I'm sure when they played Leeds as well, they mentioned that they've got top three away record in the league. Well, if that's the case, they can't be doing particularly well at home.
They haven't won at home since February the 3rd.
Oh, don't say it.
Oh, you said it.
Oh,
that's it. It's gone. Done.
Cancel the hotels.
Look at that. You have us on for me stats, and I'll give you a stat, and then I get back. Come on.
We didn't see that one coming because the glasses were nowhere near.
Yeah, but Dicko, I had that stat. I just didn't dare say it. I thought, no, don't say that one. That's the one you keep away from everything. We all know what's coming.
Well, that's it. If we get beat tomorrow, I'm blaming you.
Yeah.
Still majority.
If we get beat tomorrow, it'll be a miracle because the game's not till Wednesday.
Yeah.
Fair play.
For all the people listening on Spotify on Tuesday, John is right. We do play tomorrow. So keep listening. But no, it's literally loser is done Wednesday.
It depends. They've got a game in hand on us as well, you know. So it's,
I'll get that.
But I know they need to win to be catching Norwich, but it's the
same
for us.
Their game in hand's Coventry. Coventry are absolutely flying as well at the moment. I'm a bit fearful of them again. Sick of talking about them.
It'll be like a cup game. The atmosphere will be cracking on Wednesday night.
They've got a big crowd coming as well, so it's going to be a bouncing.
I think we've got no pressure at all. It's like, let's be honest, every Middlesbrough fan, if they're being honest, they don't probably really expect Middlesbrough to make the playoffs. Every win that we're getting at the moment is a bonus. It gets for a game towards near the end of the season again. It keeps the season going. So we're going down there, Middlesbrough fans, in my opinion. I would be going down quite cocky, saying we're just going to go down, enjoy the night, enjoy the day. You know, what will be, support the team, have a cracking away end,
we'll
bouncing all night.
Wembley.
You've got
nothing to lose, where I think, as you say, if Middlesbrough take an early lead or score and go 1-0 up, I think it'll be a tough night for Hull.
No, you are right. Sorry, go on, John.
That's exactly why I said that they have to win. You know, I know they've got a game in hand still, but they've got to win, in my opinion.
The pressure is on them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So being the home team, they said anyone playing at home going towards that sort of goal this time of the season, the pressure's on you. Pressure was on us Saturday, and we came through it.
I think it could be a real humdinger of a game as well because on counter attack we look pretty good. To be fair. We've still got some decent attacking players.
They're
going to go for it, aren't they? So we all know what Giles is like. Amazing going forward and not so great at the back. So let's hope there's plenty of space in that area.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember we played them at home? We played them at home last April, didn't we?
And, yes, we did.
I think they took the lead. Did the lead at half-time and we come out second half and just blew them away. You know, we scored 3 second half, blew them away. You know, so... So yeah, they'll be looking to get the 3 points being the home team. So yeah, pressure on that.
Massive pressure, and then that leads us on to obviously then the game on Saturday, which is
before we go to that, we better do the predictions for all.
Yeah, go on then. You've already wrote yours.
Yeah, I'm going 3-1 Lath. Dally.
Here we go,
Luke Ayling.
1-1. Are you really going Ayling?
There we go.
I can't not go because if I don't, then
you have to
do
it, don't you?
Yeah.
1-1 Ayling. Jack Wall?
2-0 Borough.
Goal scorer?
Goal scorer will be, don't hurt me, Dan Barlasser.
I'm not even sure he's going to start.
I think he will start.
JD?
2-1.
Fester.
Finnazzaz.
Fester.
Azaz, eh? Dicko?
I'll go 2-1 as well. Latia laugh.
If Barlasa doesn't start, put it to O'Brien. One of the midfielders will score.
Hackney.
That might be a bit late by the time we find out the team sheet, to be fair.
What? Not really.
All right, then.
Write it down. Write it down, because I'll put Wednesday.
How long did it take you to type out your bets?
I was going to say. They don't ask you for individual typo when they put them through, you know. You just press a button. And then that will lead us nicely on to Saturday. I mean, Saturday's another big following going down to Ipswich. I say we're just about sold out of that as well. Another 2,000 hitting the road to Portman Road. Cracking away to Ipswich as well.
Well, I looked at it, Jacko, to be honest, and there's still about a few hundred left, you know. So we're not going to be, well, we might be sold out if result goes well for us on Wednesday. But, you know, we're not sold out just yet. But let's see.
I think the remainder of the tickets, I think they're in that little tiny block they have at the bottom, don't they?
I don't think so. No, I thought the upper block, is it V1 and V2? I thought one of them had a few hundred left, but anyway, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter about really, does it?
I'll scrap you for it, mate. But it's another magnificent following. They say Ipswich is a really good away day. Got some cracking memories of Ipswich. Me falling in the river last day of the season when I'm a bit worse for wear. Yeah, it's a cracking away. So that pub near the ground is class. So if you are going down, say is it still called the Railway Tavern? That pub.
Probably. I don't know for certain.
Yeah, it's across the road from the train station. Going there, it's a cracking pint. And hopefully it'll be some nice weather as well. They say. But yeah, massive, massive game for Borough. Massive.
Both Man Podcast sponsored by TripAdvisor.
Hey, that's what I'm here for.
TripAdvisor.
That's Geordie for TripAdvisor. It's huge, especially for them, because, I mean, you saw what they were doing at the weekend as well. Obviously, they lost to Norwich. Big, big loss for them. But they're still dangerous, aren't they, Ipswich? How many points they've got? It's 85 or 86 points they've got. Says it all. A newly promoted team, 86 points this time of the season.
Had a class season.
We're going to have another season where three teams at the top are going to have 90-odd points and one of them's going to miss out.
A lot will depend.
It amazes me that they've got the former Borough midfielders, Luongo and Morsi, in the middle of the park. Who, let's be honest, Morsi was a trier and got stuck in, but he was bang average at best. You wouldn't be wanting him back, in my opinion. And then you've got Luongo, who couldn't get a game for him. They've played for them all season.
Always go for yellow cards, like, wasn't he, Morsi?
You say Morsi was a tryer, I'll say he was atrocious.
always go for a yellow. But it shows what Kieran McKenna's doing to them, because that was their midfield when they came to us in December. And they, at times, ran us ragged. And we looked a bit behind the pace against them. I thought they were really, really good when they came to us.
Do you think? I
thought they were brilliant.
Much of them when they came up here. I don't know if I'd had a few too many beers, but I didn't think they were.
Controlled the game, didn't they?
Yeah. They caught us on a good day, if you remember. They caught us on a good day. We had a lot of injuries on that particular day. Yeah. And they caught us at a good time. And I was massively disappointed in them on the day. I thought if Middlesbrough had been anywhere near full strength, I think we would have took them apart, to be honest, on that particular day.
I thought we were very, very generous. Their goals were nothing spectacular. It was down to our basic errors. I thought we were very generous to them. But it's going to be a different kettle of fish down there. By any stretch of the imagination, they're flying, aren't they? Mm. So yeah, it's going to be tough.
The atmosphere will be electric as well, won't it, the way they're going. None of their fans will have expected them.
I think they're sold out.
With a chance of the Premier League. Yeah. Stage of the season.
They think they're sold out there.
What are they on? 86, 87 points. You look at the team and you think, how many of them would you have? But they must be doing something, right? They're absolutely flying.
They're playing as a team, though, aren't they? That's it. Yeah, they're playing as a team.
Absolutely. If they've got the right formula of players, most of them were still there at League One, weren't they? And he's brought them through and kept them together and just put a bit of additional alongside them. I mean, just for starters, last time I saw him a few years ago was at Salford. And he looks a shoo-in for a Premier League keeper all of a sudden. So yeah.
Again, like Hull, they've got goals in the team, though, haven't they? That's the thing. They've got players that are scoring double figures. Like Kiefer Moore, he's proven to be a decent signing on loan that they've brought in. He's got a few extra goals for them. There's a chaplain who plays for them, gets a few goals. So they've got goals in the side. Nathan Broadhead, is it?
They've got that lad from Wimbledon as well, didn't they?
I can't remember. I can't remember his full surname.
We looked at him, didn't we? Yeah, we did.
Signed him for $1 million,
And then to top it all off, they've got that lad on loan from Brighton, Mr. Jeremy Sarmiento. He looks a right talent as well. He's got the winner on, was it Easter Monday against Southampton?
Southampton. 90-odd minutes.
Yeah, I know. Wow, imagine. I'll come back to you.
Yeah, smashing. I'm going for...
Smashing?
I just thought we were going on until 9 o'clock there, the way you were going on. Yeah, I'm going to go for Isaiah Jones.
Smashing.
2-1.
Smashing. Great. In Bully's special prize.
Dally?
Jazz club. Great.
What was the question? I'm going to go for a 1-0 smash and grab like we did at Burnley all those years.
Smash and grab.
I'm going to go 1-0 and I'm going to go O'Brien. Like Jacob Butterfield back at Burnley when Dimmy Constantakis had an absolute worldie.
That was quality, that.
And they were about to go up then, weren't they?
Jaguar?
Come back to me, because this is one of the two games I said we'd get beaten in the running.
JD?
1-1. Johnny Howson to score.
Dick Law?
Unfortunately, I think we'll probably fall short, so I'll see a 2-1 Ipswich. Laddie Alat. 2-1, unfortunately. I think it's a big ask to win... to win both these games. I'll be, you know, let's be honest, it's going to be a tough ask. For anybody in the league to go to Hull and Ipswich back-to-back, to get two wins would be... I think if we get 3 points, it'll keep winning in the race going into Leeds.
Jacko,
if we get 6, will you be booking Wembley?
I'll be thinking about it.
Two-two.
Less than 20 seconds ago, you said this was one of the games you picked us to get beaten. Now it's 2-2.
I honestly think we'll still get beat. I really do. But for charity. I think 2-2 would be a good, bloody good price.
What about the scorer then?
Matt Clark.
Well, that will be a good price.
Yeah.
You can pay for my Wembley trip then.
Hey, we're paying for a lot of people's Wembley trips, is the way we're going. But I do think this is one of the two games where we could trip up, unfortunately. But have a bit of faith, you know, we'll be absolutely fine and we'll get something and we'll bring it back from Portman Road. And so with that being said then, you know, the majority of us have gone for at least 4 points out with 6. This time next week, does that... I'll come back to Cuts in a minute because he's doing his very best.
Oh,
he's doing your best? Okay. 4 points out of 6, does that keep us in the race for another week?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's all right. Of course it does.
I think 3 points does. I think if we get 3 points out of 6, I think that'll keep winning the race. If we win one of the two games, it'll probably keep winning the race and going into the Leeds game, which will put a little bit on it. On a Monday night, big crowd. That's all we ask.
4 points will be dancing down Wembley Way.
Ooh. If we get 3 points out, if we get 3 points out of 6, Dick, or Norwich get 6, will we still be in it?
Come on, Cuts, give us a chance. That's a maths on that.
I don't know, but you said if we get 3 out of 6, I'm just saying if we lose another three points in the next two games, will we still have a chance? That's 9 points.
I think if we get 3 out the next 6, we'll still mathematically be in with a chance. Because I think other teams will slip up. That's my reasoning as well.
Yeah.
Everybody assumes that all these teams above work are just going to win every game, and they're not.
Well, Norwich have got the next two games: Sheffield Wednesday away, Preston away.
Yeah, and Ipswich.
Well, there you go. I don't think they'll win both those games. There you go.
Ipswich as well on Wednesday at Watford as well. So if they lose that game, that'll be massive pressure on them coming for Saturday for us. But it's all ifs and buts, isn't it?
Of course it is. So, I hope they prove me wrong. I hope they do get all 3 points at Ipswich. It'd be a massive, massive result. And actually, I'll put my neck on the line. I think if we get 6 points, I think we'll do it. I think we'll get six. I really do. Honestly, I'll put my neck on the line. I think we'll get six if we get all six points at the start next week. I think we'll.
You thought we were drinking?
It's the hope that kills you, innit?
It is the hope that kills you. I know it is, but I just think the two more wins on top, I think.
I know you're not supposed to look ahead, but if we got 6 points, imagine the atmosphere at home against Leeds on that Monday. I mentioned it. It'll be absolutely electric. It really will. Let's hope we have something to look forward to for that Leeds game.
Well, that's it.
It's what fans do, though, isn't it? Yeah. You have that hope. Absolutely. You know, you want unlikely things to happen. So, yeah, why not?
100%.
6 points. I've gone for four, but I hope it's six.
Yeah. So that's why I think, 6 points, and I think we might just do it. But I'll leave it there, and hopefully this time next week we'll all reconvene and we'll all be very happy chappies, and we can preview the game against them. Two weeks.
Jacko,
yes.
Just give a quick shout out before I go to a young lady called Christy McAllister from Darlington. She was the singer in the Style Lounge on Saturday, and she was fantastic. And I said I'd give her a mention. She was really good. She's available for bookings and all the rest of it. I think she's already fairly.
What's happening?
I think she's already fairly famous. To be fair, she was a childhood star apparently when I had a look on the internet. So. But she was a really lovely young lady, and she even the company I was with were Man City, and she even sang Wonderwall for them. So she was very, very good, and I said I'd give her a mention on the podcast.
She was a childhood star.
Stalker alert.
She was a childhood star, apparently.
Like me. She was like me. She was a childhood star. Oh.
Quick, cut, finish.
Right. You two.
Get it in the North Stand with us. She'll get a few more people singing along.
Yes, no, I'll, fair play. On that bombshell, thank you very much. We'll leave it there. Boys, thanks for popping in.
Sam and Cowell will be back next week.
Yes, Sam. And,
kick, head, smirk.
We'll stick the YouTube clip up later. On that point, I'll leave it there. Thank you very much. Arrivederci. Here's for a good
cheers,
week.
Cheers, lads. Other
boys. All the best.
Oh, God.